It's 7 o'clock here in Paris, 5 o'clock Universal Time. You're listening to Radio France International. Good morning and welcome to Paris Live. If you're just joining us, it's Thursday, the 11th of July. I'm Imogen Lam. The headlines. Egypt issues an arrest warrant for the Muslim Brotherhood's supreme leader Mohamed Badi in connection with Monday's deadly violence in Cairo. The sole surviving suspect in April's Boston Marathon bombing pleads not guilty to all charges, including the use of a weapon of mass destruction. And Luxembourg's Prime Minister Jean-Claude Juncker says he'll step down today over a scandal involving the country's secret services. Coming up, we'll be hearing what the EU is doing to push Kosovo and Serbia to normalise their relations, plus a look at how humanitarian assistance has become a necessity for many Greeks as the economic crisis deepens. And Paul Myers will be here with the latest sports news. Egyptian authorities have issued arrest warrants for leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood, including the group's supreme leader, over deadly violence in Cairo earlier this week. Mohamed Badi and nine senior figures are wanted on suspicion of inciting Monday's violence outside the Republican Guard headquarters, in which at least 53 people, mostly Muslim Brotherhood supporters, were killed. Yesterday, the foreign ministry said ousted Islamist President Mohamed Morsi is being held in a safe place and is being treated in a dignified manner. The sole surviving suspect in the Boston Marathon bombing has pleaded not guilty to all charges, including the use of a weapon of mass destruction. This was the first public appearance of 19-year-old Dzhokhar Dzhanayev since he was captured after an extensive manhunt. This following the twin bombing of the marathon finish line on the 15th of April. Tsarnaev could face the death penalty if convicted. Correspondent Philip Crowther was in the courtroom in Boston and describes the scene.
The people who were in the room that made this such an explosive moment, really, because in that room was, of course, Dzhokhar Dzhanayev, the sole surviving suspect, the 19-year-old, but also around 30 family members and victims, some of whom went into that courtroom in Boston with crutches. All victims and family members had been notified of this hearing, and some had decided to go. But there were also family members of Mr. Dzhanayev himself, two sisters in the front row, one seen sobbing during this arraignment, and there were also supporters of Dzhokhar Dzhanayev. Yes, that does exist. People wearing T-shirts saying that he was innocent. This was a seven-minute arraignment altogether. That is where the charges are read out. We saw Dzhokhar Dzhanayev in an orange prison suit, shackled as well, with a bandaged arm and with bruises on his face. He came across as a little bit fidgety, maybe nervous, but also defiant and maybe a little bit blasé about it all. All of that during the time where six times he said he believed he was not guilty on all the charges that were read out to him.
Philip Crowther. In Luxembourg, Prime Minister Jean-Claude Juncker has said he'll step down today over scandal involving the country's secret services. RFI's Laura Angela Bagnetto has more.
Juncker said he would step down after the socialists, his coalition partners, refused to agree to dissolve parliament and call for early elections. The scandal involves Luxembourg's SREL Secret Service, which the prime minister oversees. Parliament looked at the report showing that the Secret Service had placed illegal phone taps on business leaders and had 13,000 secret files on people and businesses. The investigation also unearthed a phony counterterrorism operation that was a front to help a Russian oligarch pay $10 million to a Spanish spy. And the Secret Service was apparently involved in a private luxury used car dealership. The report on this situation said that Juncker did not inform the Parliamentary Control Committee or the judiciary of the Secret Service irregularities, aberrations, and illegalities. Juncker told Parliament yesterday that the SREL was not his top priority, nor did he hope it would be a top priority for a standing prime minister. Alex Baudry, the socialist leader, said that Juncker needed to take responsibility for the SREL actions, but did not.
Canadian officials say the recent rail disaster, in which as many as 50 people were killed, is probably the result of an engineer's failure to operate the brakes properly. The freight train had been stopped for a crew change in the town of Nantes when it began to roll downhill without a conductor towards Lac Megantic, several kilometres away. The train, which was carrying oil, derailed at a curve in the tracks, and several cars exploded, causing a huge fire in the town. Irish lawmakers vote today on historic legislation to introduce abortion in limited cases when the mother's life is at risk. The predominantly Catholic nation's abortion laws faced global scrutiny after the death of a 31-year-old Indian woman in a Galway hospital last October. The Protection of Life During Pregnancy Bill would allow for abortion in circumstances where doctors certify there's a real and substantial risk to the life of the mother, as opposed to just a health risk. Critics have argued that the bill is too limited, as it does not allow termination in cases of fetal abnormalities or in cases of incest or rape. US Vice President Joe Biden has urged China to end what he called its outright theft through hacking. He made the call at the opening of 2 days of annual talks with China in Washington. A recent U.S. study said that corporate America is losing hundreds of billions of dollars a year through a vast organized hacking campaign to steal U.S. trade, government, and military secrets. China insists it's also the victim of hacking. Apart from cybersecurity, economic and trade issues will also dominate the two-day meeting. Kenneth Lieberthal is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution and served as former President Bill Clinton's top Asia advisor. He says there are two main areas of economic policy that need to be discussed during the meeting.
For the Chinese, they're particularly concerned about actions by our Federal Reserve to gradually taper off QE3. That has potential consequences for the Chinese economy. For us, we'll be particularly concerned with the specific policies the Chinese government will be laying out at the third plenum this October, in terms of how they plan to move and with what priorities as they seek to restructure their economy. The other big dimension is that we have been negotiating a bilateral investment treaty. I think both leaderships now feel that concluding this treaty would be a very good thing for both economies and for our relationship.
The Czech Republic's president, Miloš Zeman, has appointed a new government led by his ally, Jiří Rusnok, in a controversial bid to end a political crisis. However, the main parties in parliament oppose the move, and it seems unlikely the new cabinet will win a confidence vote due within 30 days. The new government will have to deal with the aftermath of a bribery and spying scandal involving former Prime Minister Petr Nečas, who resigned in June. The Czech Republic also faces its longest recession to date, so far lasting 18 months. Peter Kratochvil is the director of the Institute of International Relations in Prague. He says the scandal involving the former government has affected the Czech Republic's reputation abroad.
Of course, I think it has had some impact because the scandal was widely discussed in international media. And of course, it was connected also to a number of problems the country has been facing recently, ranging from economic difficulties to political instability. So this is just another point in case that shows that something is rotten in the Czech Republic and some things should be changed. And of course, the big question is whether the new government can contribute to the change. And I'm afraid that my answer is no, it cannot, because this is not a government that would be formed on the basis of elections. So it's a kind of caretaker government.
North and South Korea failed to reach an agreement yesterday during talks over reopening a joint industrial estate just inside North Korea. The Kaesong estate has been seen as a key reconciliation point between the two nations. RFI's Colette Davidson has more.
Over 50,000 North Koreans worked at the Seoul-owned Kaesong factories just north of the border before it closed down in April. At a rare weekend meeting, North and South Korea agreed in theory to reopen the estate. But on Wednesday, neither side had come to an agreement on the issue, and it was decided that the two sides will meet again next week. During the talks in Seoul, Pyongyang said it had made sincere efforts and accused the South of putting hurdles in the way of the talks. But the South wants guarantees that the North won't shut down Kaesong unilaterally. The plant closed down after the North withdrew its workers, saying military tensions between the two countries were at the heart of its decision. Just prior to the closing, North Korea announced it was in a state of war with the South. This just 1 month after Pyongyang ran its controversial nuclear weapons test.
A UN body has asked the Vatican to hand over the details of cases of thousands of children allegedly abused by priests. The Geneva-based Committee on the Rights of the Child wants the lists before a hearing with Holy See officials next January. It's the first time that the committee has made such a demand. James Walston, Professor of International Relations at the American University in Rome, outlines the significance of the request.
It means that the United Nations, this is a special committee on the application of the rights of the child, the convention which the Vatican, among almost all other countries except for the US and Somalia, have signed. Every country has to provide a report on what is going on in their part of the world. And this committee has the right, for those who've signed, to continue and to dig further. And they've taken up the Vatican on this and are following all the other revelations which have taken place in many parts of the world on child abuse by priests. And they are trying to work out what sort of responsibility there is in the Vatican.
The European Commission unveiled the second part of its banking union plans yesterday. The project gives the Commission the authority to close down ailing banks in the Eurozone, even if the government of the country affected disagrees. Michel Barnier, EU Commissioner for Internal Markets, explains the importance of the European banking sector.
De quoi parle-t-on quand on parle du secteur bancaire européen?
We are talking about the largest source of financing in the European economy. European banks finance 70 to 75% of the economy. This is the opposite of the United States, where banks finance just 25%. With banks, we are also talking about the largest source of risk for financial stability, for public finances, and for taxpayers.
Pour les citoyens qui sont en même temps contribuables.
Haiti has issued a red alert in advance of the arrival of tropical storm Chantal, which is due to hit the Caribbean island any time now. Domestic air traffic, as well as flights to the United States, have been cancelled, and people in zones at risk have been told to take shelter. Officials fear the storm could cause landslides and floods. Portuguese President Anibal Cavaco Silva has approved a reshuffled ruling coalition, ending a 10-day crisis over austerity policies that nearly toppled the government. He said the current government has all the authority to exercise its functions, rejecting opposition calls for immediate elections. And here in France, the Parliament has voted in favour of the immediate dissolution of three far-right groups following the death of an anti-fascist activist in Paris last month. The activist Clément Méric died on June the 5th after a clash with members of one of the groups in a crowded shopping street. The French government spokesperson said they were banned because they had the characteristics of private militias and incited racial hatred.